You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following the government designating Hamas in its entirety as a terrorist organization last week, I spoke to representatives of the Jewish and Palestinian communities here in Aotearoa. First, I spoke to Justice for Palestine co-convener Samira Zeitoun about their calls for the government to condemn Israel for its actions in Gaza. The government has designated Hamas in its entirety as a terrorist organization. What is your reaction to this?
Really devastated. The first thing that I think about is that it's racist. It's racist and it's hypocritical. So those are the first two things, I guess, because what we're saying is that to designate Hamas in all of its entirety is all of its government infrastructure. It is its Ministry of Health, everyone who works for the Ministry of Health, everyone who writes the names of the people who have been killed by what I would consider the terrorist entity, which is the Israeli government, are now designated as terrorists themselves. It's teachers, it's nurses, it's cleaners, it's rubbish truck drivers. It's just everyone. And I guess the other part of that is the impact that it's going to have in Aotearoa as well. For myself personally, as a Palestinian, as an Arab, I've grown up my whole life with people calling me a terrorist as either an offhanded joke or as casual racism or as really serious racism. And I really fear that that is going to exacerbate the quote of terrorism and of racism that we already see impacting our young people in Aotearoa.
What do you think might have left our government to make this decision now, especially at a time where we've just seen 30,000 people in Gaza have been killed?
I think that actually what it comes down to is our New Zealand government not having a backbone, because what we can see is that all of the other partners in the Five Eyes Alliance have designated Hamas as a terrorist entity. So, from what I understand, it's the New Zealand government not having a backbone and not having any critical thinking into the impacts and the complications of what this is, and also being extremely blind to the real terror that is going on, which is 30,000 Palestinians being killed. And, you know, they did say something about that there's going to be a couple of travel bans on some Israeli settlers in the West Bank because of the reason of their violence against Palestinians in the West Bank. What about the violence of Israeli army soldiers who have caused a lot of violence and been a part of the genocide against the Palestinians?
How do you feel about how media here in Aotearoa, as well as politicians, have portrayed Israel's war in Gaza?
It is shocking and it's disappointing the way that Western media, including in Aotearoa, have portrayed the genocide that is happening and the reality that is happening in Palestine. A lot of it has come from, you know, if you're looking back at some of the claims that Israel had made at the beginning of beheaded babies, of mass rapes, of children being bound by barbed wire and burned. Those are things that, you know, the United States President Joe Biden has talked publicly about, which was completely unsubstantiated claim. The New York Times wrote about it. The Washington Post wrote about it. It was on the front page everywhere, including in Aotearoa media as well. Now, the issue with that is that there is no fact-checking, there is no investigation, and this isn't new for what happens when we're looking at the bias between Israel and Palestine, because when you're looking at what's happening in Palestine, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of videos and evidence of watching people being killed. We don't see that when it comes to needing the evidence from the other side. And often in those cases, those claims are put forward by Israel, and once the dust settles, then they will often come out and say, oh, actually, that was a lie, or that wasn't true, or, yeah, that was us who did that. So it's not surprising, but it's extremely disappointing, and I think that our media must do better.
We've seen that since the International Court of Justice ruling that Israel must take actions to prevent genocide and ensure that humanitarian aid reaches Gaza, not only that more than 100 Palestinians were killed while trying to get food after Israeli soldiers shot at them, but also we've seen reports that there has been less aid entering Gaza. What responsibility does our government have to condemn this and to ensure that Israel is meeting the obligations of the International Court of Justice?
We have a big responsibility and a big part to play. We are a part of the United Nations. We are part of the World Court, the International Court of Justice. We've been part of cases in historic cases through history of other issues. Where we have seen ourselves as impactful players that can be honest brokers in hard situations. Now, we also have an obligation to uphold international humanitarian law, and we are often on this high horse of historical victories that we've seen ourselves be a part of, such as women having been the first to vote in the world, of the Springbok tour and our rejection of apartheid in South Africa, of being a nuclear-free zone. And quite frankly, I think that we need to get off that high horse if we're not going to have a principled foreign policy approach that is based in human rights and upholding that international law, because otherwise all of our institutions that we rely on have no standing, and it's really, really poor behaviour from our government to see.
We've seen many New Zealanders, including Palestinian New Zealanders, take to the streets in protest and call on our government to do more. Can you speak to what this solidarity and this protest action has looked like recently here in Aotearoa?
The solidarity movement in Aotearoa that has been building in Te Tautoko, Palestine and Palestinians and human rights has been the most profound thing that we've seen. It has been relentless, and people are really hurting from it. But we keep going, and it's one of the most beautiful things because we're understanding that it's not just about Palestine. This is about our humanity. It's about our collective humanity. It's about making sure that the role that we play is on the right side of history. It's about putting pressure on our government. It's about bringing people onto the waka in our journey for justice. And I think that people who are part of our rallies and our marches and posting on social media and writing to their MPs should be really proud of themselves for being a part of this. But when things like Hamas getting designated as a terrorist entity or the extremely, extremely slow response for the government to finally call for a ceasefire, or the dwindling UNRWA funds, makes it feel sometimes really hopeless, but it can't be, because apartheid falls, imperialist regimes fall, fascism falls, and the Zionist regime will fall as well if we keep going and building that solidarity. So We're just going to keep on keeping on with the knowledge that we will be on the right side of history, we will win, and that one day Palestine will be free and we will have justice, because we have this really, really rich understanding now of what it means when we say we're not free until we're all free.
That was Justice for Palestine co-convener Samira Zeitoun speaking. I also spoke to the co-founder of Alternative Jewish Voices, Marilyn Garson, about her reaction to the government's decision and concerns about misinformation surrounding what is happening in Gaza and the occupied West Bank being spread here in New Zealand. And please note, when Marilyn discusses Simon Court's interview on 95BFM, she is referencing my interview with him, which aired last week.
I think it's most unfortunate, and I want to preface my answer a bit by saying that I have lived under Hamas, and I have written about their human rights abuses within the context of occupation and blockade. In their conduct of an armed resistance, I have written that I regard Hamas not as an expression of hopeful liberation, but of the failure of hope, as every other channel has been denied to people behind a blockade. So my objection is not particularly about Hamas itself. My objection is that these decisions don't address the context of October 7th. Within that context, Gaza has always been silenced by its diplomatic exclusion. It has no voice, and this decision dictates that the only voice for Palestinians will be the Western-supported 88-year-old Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority. So our government is acquiescing to choose Palestinians' representative. To put that within a bigger frame, it would say the military actions that we see are symptoms of a political struggle for Palestinian self-determination. And yesterday's decision does not touch the cause, the political struggle. And then the clock didn't stop on October 7th. Look at our reactions to everything that has happened. We have 1,200 Israelis killed and 240 held hostage, and for that we designate all of Hamas as a terrorist entity. We have 400 West Bankers killed and 7,000 detained. For that, a dozen or so individual settlers can't come to visit Queenstown, which even Luxon admits was not likely to happen. We have 30,000 Gazans killed, half the buildings in the Gaza Strip ruined. We say we would like a ceasefire, please, but our normal relations with Israel are not in any way disrupted. I feel like these proportions are terribly wrong. We hear the statements of genocidal intent, and we know who is responsible for 30,000 deaths in Gaza, but we're doing nothing. We know that settler violence in the West Bank is effectively state violence, and the state detained these 7,000 people, but we don't in any way touch that authority structure. We're leaving Israel's leadership untouched, including the leadership of the settlers, although they are responsible for the overwhelming preponderance of death and harm. So if I can just restate that in terms of human rights, if we put lives and rights at the heart of our thinking, we would condemn everyone who is using undue or illegal violence to achieve political ends. We would condemn the people who committed crimes on October 7th, the settler gangs, at least some units of the IDF, and I would say the Israeli cabinet and strategists who have chosen to fight this way. By responding only to October 7th, I think we are acting in the sphere of politics, not solutions.
Aotearoa and other Western countries have had Hamas's military wing designated as a terrorist organization for many years. For those who might not know, can you explain how Hamas's political and military wings differ, and do you think this is a necessary distinction to be making?
I think what people need to understand is that Hamas is both a force for armed resistance, a set of fighters, and a government. Hamas was elected in 2006 as the government of the Gaza Strip. And there was always a joke while I lived there that if they were to hold new elections, Hamas would win in the West Bank and the Palestinian Authority would win in Gaza, because everyone was so disaffected by the Palestinian leadership. What they're doing by designating all of Hamas as a terrorist entity, they are rendering as terrorist also Gaza's government. Hamas employs teachers, rubbish collectors, bureaucrats. They have families. What is their status now? They worked for the government. Who else could employ a teacher? They are rendering Gaza as an ungoverned space. And that has serious repercussions for recovery, and that has immediate repercussions for tens of thousands of people and their relatives. I think it's just creating a bigger hole in the fabric.
Do you believe our government should designate the IDF as a terrorist organization, or is there a better way for us to condemn Israel's actions?
I think there are many ways to condemn Israel's actions. Should they be rendered as terrorists? My request would simply be that they act consistently across the sphere of violent, the perpetrators of violence. Is there another way? Yes. Israel is very dependent on functioning as a normal member of the international system. And that gives us all kinds of diplomatic, economic tools. We can sanction. We can send the ambassador home. We can say, we are not treating you normally until you respect the most basic human rights of everyone over whom you have power. There's a whole set of economic and treaty-related steps that we can and should take.
There have been some concerns raised that pro-Israel propaganda has been spread through New Zealand media and by politicians here in Aotearoa. Is this something you're concerned about at all?
I feel like we have brought a whole set of racialized assumptions to the whole conversation. You know, as with on this issue and as with others, it's like Israel is held to a different standard. Israel is absolved of its responsibilities, while Palestinians begin with a kind of suspicion. And, you know, I've heard it, for example, in your interview this week with Simon Court with the ACT Party. He said Israel faces this terrible dilemma of releasing prisoners who are heinous terrorists and murderers in exchange for its civilian hostages. So there's a perfect example. Who are these Palestinians held in custody? Well, 7,000 of them are new detainees since October 7th. Thousands of them are children in military jails. Israel arrests 500, 600, 700 children every year. It is just a racialized trope to assume that Palestinians who are in military custody must therefore be heinous terrorists. To say that thing on level ground, I would say that civilian hostages should be released unconditionally because it's a war crime to hold them. Palestinian prisoners who are confined without due process, children, those in preventative detention, should also be released without precondition. But that is not the way that we've been hearing it. So I think we are bringing really racialized rationales to this issue.
Alternative Jewish voices have spoken out about the harmful conflation of Judaism and Zionism. Do you feel that your calls have been heard, particularly here in Aotearoa?
In some corners, yes. People are learning. And a number of Jews are unlearning the conditioning that we bring. But I still hear far too often the confusion of the two words, as if being being a Jew must indicate being a Zionist, as if this ideology is an essential part of being Jewish. It's not. It's a nationalism that a number of Jews certainly endorse, but it's not a part of our religion. And that basic public education just needs to go on and on. We are not there yet.
Despite this, we've seen many New Zealanders, including Jewish New Zealanders, showing up in solidarity with Palestinians. Can you speak to what this solidarity and advocacy has looked like here in Aotearoa?
Well, a simple way to note it is that when we, on October 7th, we were a little collective of around a dozen people, and now having joined forces with a revived Dayenu, we are becoming a membership group with 70-plus members. 200 or so Jews have signed an open letter calling on our institutions to speak differently. We are approached at rally after rally by additional Jews saying, can we stand with you? We feel a need to be identified with the humanism, with the solidarity that would protect Palestinians from what's happening at the moment. We experience it both as a really difficult tear in the fabric of our own community, and we experience it as the opening up of a space beyond Zionism where we are beginning to build new community. That's exciting. I've been thinking about the Human Rights Commission, which has written about the need for us to find our own coexistence without securitizing Muslim identity in particular. So I feel like yesterday was a big setback. And then this morning, we're hearing the headlines that 100-plus Palestinians have been killed looking for food in the north of Gaza. And what we hear in the news is Israel acknowledging that it shot some of them, but others, they say they didn't shoot. That's the wrong headline. The headline is Gazans are being starved. I think we need to start looking at the way we hear these stories and bringing level-headed assumptions about both peoples to the stories that we hear.
That was Justice for Palestine co-convener Samira Zeitoun and co-founder of Alternative Jewish Voices, Marilyn Garson, on New Zealand's response to Israel's war on Gaza.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.